The gospel lesson is from Matthew in the 18th chapter. You can read along in your pew Bibles and page 800. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times, or 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees before the master, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat and said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then the fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him in prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and reported it to their Lord, all that had taken place. And his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. These are my letters. Don't want to read that to you again. The two scripture readings this morning have a certain tone to them. Tone, in this instance, is like somebody who would say, "When will you pay me?" As in, you're late in paying me, and I know that you know, and it's time to pay. Now, it's more subtle than grabbing somebody by the throat, like the one servant did for the other, but still, we usually are able to catch tone. And the tone in Romans is pretty clear. And I really like the translation that Ish read, talking about people who are strong on opinions and weak in the faith department. I think Paul says here in the 14th chapter of Romans, just get along. Now, Paul cared a lot about different issues and could be very direct and very strong when writing to the Romans. But here, Paul sounds more like a parent who's been asked too many times to referee an argument between the children. So where does that leave you when you criticize your brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to your sister? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly. I like that. Of course, Paul's not talking to us, right? None of us condescend or criticize or any of that. Paul's advice, friends, just get along. Now, the story in the gospel is a little more subtle, and we need to dig into it just a little bit to really catch what Jesus was saying. How many times must I forgive someone? As many as 7 times? It does seem like an unusual question, but you know, in last week's story, the person got 3 chances to be forgiven, and then the person was cast out. So maybe Peter's question was trying to amplify what Jesus is saying. 3 times? How about 7 times, Jesus? And Jesus' answer was unexpected. 70 times 7. 70 times 7 was the largest number used in the Old Testament to describe religious actions. In English, that word would mean a bunch. In Southern, that would mean all y'all. Only he's talking about a number. All y'all. Forgive all y'all. And then in the parable about the money, the amount of money the first servant owed sounds like a lot. But the number was a huge number. 10,000 was the largest number they had to describe money or things. 10,000 talents was as if saying all of the money in the world. They had no other term for it. They stopped counting. So it's everything. Now, the smaller number, that's just a smaller number. But compared with the large number, we see how insignificant that is. So Jesus used 2 big numbers and a parable to answer Peter's question. How many times should you forgive? How about forgive a godly number of times? How about forgive a lot and forgive often and stop worrying about the number of times? Now, Jesus was not talking about banking when he said, forgive the 10,000 talents. Would that Jesus had said to bankers, yeah, forgive all these mortgages. That would be great. That doesn't happen. He wasn't talking about banking. And as Julie said last week, not talking about people who wrong you using their power and advantage to take advantage of you. That's not the kind of forgiveness we should offer. In fact, the rich servant got punished. Just get along. And I know that this is a lot more complicated than just get along, because I know that there may be issues that you think are rather small and insignificant, and I think are huge issues, and probably vice versa. Still, Jesus and Paul were saying, don't worry about the small stuff. This week, our nation, our church, focused a lot of attention on immigration and refugees. As Julie said, she was in Washington, D.C., and advocating for a clean DACA bill and also talking about Minerva every chance she could. Yesterday, we were at a conference about sanctuary. Our church has done a lot. And basically, yesterday, we were bragging all on you. I hope you felt that. But when I hear politicians talking about reducing immigration, talking about removing good people like Minerva and Eduardo, I have to wonder, what is animating this cause for conservatives? Why the fear? This week there was news about another refugee crisis, one that probably won't affect us at all. The mostly Buddhist nation of Myanmar has a majority, or had, a minority of people living there, a group called the Rohingya. The Rohingya really were not liked in Myanmar. And in fact, the Rohingya didn't like the people of Myanmar. And they've been squabbling for years. Well, this time, the Rohingya were attacked. And attacked in such a brutal way that villages were destroyed. Thousands and thousands of people have been killed or wounded. The term genocide has been used to describe these actions. So the Rohingya did the only thing that they could do. They went to the border, to Bangladesh, and came in. Now, it turns out the Rohingya are not particularly liked in Bangladesh either. And the people of Bangladesh have really pushed back and have said, how can we feed all these people? How can we care for these 700,000 people? We're just a poor country. And the Prime Minister of Bangladesh gave a wonderful and brave reply. He said, yes, we are a poor nation. Yes, we have our problems. But we are a nation of 166 million people. What's another 700,000 mouths to feed? One of the poorest nations on earth open, if one of the poorest nations on earth can open its doors, can't we, as the richest nation on earth, not worry so much about who's staying here now? Not worry so much about the 800,000 people with DACA status? Shame on us. What would Jesus say? What would Paul write? Sometimes our politicians can get pretty wrapped up on things that are or should be small. Of course, we all do. So first, let's do what Jesus said. Let's forgive everyone who is small-minded, but let's forgive these small-minded politicians who are so afraid of people with DACA status, or so afraid of immigrants, so afraid of refugees. Then let's keep reminding them that our nation is capable of so much more, and we're better than this. I spent this past week thinking about the great problems that we face and felt down, despair. I know it's easy to feel that. I feel despair even when I'm not thinking about the great problems of the world. But in my heart of hearts, I believe that Jesus would have us respond differently. Not with despair, but with arms open, welcoming those who have need. Amen.